We're back in session, and for those of you who just arrived, we are at agenda item 8. We're going to continue to move forward through the agenda, and we'll get to your item as quickly as we can. My apologies to the folks who are here on the Davenport item who were, I suppose, thinking that we were going to get to that around 1 o'clock. But we're moving in that direction, so bear with us. We're up to item 8 in the Absco Landing. Ms. Giordano, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Commissioner, members of the Commission. I will try to keep this brief. I am presenting two applications today on behalf of the applicant, Neabsco Landing, LC. I'm going to present them together because they are linked together. The first request from Neabsco Landing is after-the-fact request to retain a previously permitted travel lift and the associated 6-foot, 8-inch by 50-foot finger piers located 23 feet upstream from the permitted alignment and currently positioned approximately 8 feet from the western property line at their Hampton's Landing Marina, situated along the Absco Creek in Prince William County. This after-the-fact request came to our attention while we were actually processing the second application, 10-0917, which requests authorization to construct a 270-foot by 6-foot six-inch wide floating dock system at the channelward end of the upstream travel lift pier at their Hampton's Landing Marina. Both projects are protested by the adjacent property owner, Mr. John Alvey, and the protest is the same for both applications. So this is a general map. The green marker shows the approximate location of Hampton's Landing Marina along the Absco Creek. This is Powell's Creek, and this is Quantico Creek. You have the Potomac River here to the east and Occoquan Bay. And just for reference purposes, this is I-95, and this is Route 1. This is a regional shot of Hampton's Landing Marina. I have it circled here in red. You can see immediately to the north across the creek is a lot of vegetation. That's the Featherstone National Wildlife Refuge. Immediately to the south is Leesylvania State Park. Off to the west and south is residential development. Hampton's Landing Marina sits approximately a quarter mile from the confluence of Neabsco Creek and Potomac River, and this crossing here is the CSX Railroad Bridge crossing. Hampton's Landing Marina is one of three operational marinas along Neabsco Creek. Immediately to the east is Pilot House Marina, and further down the creek is Easy Cruise Marina. I have depicted here in red on the upland the approximate boundaries, upland boundaries of the three different marinas. I have them dashed in red coming out into the creek to give an approximation of the riparian boundaries. Of importance is the non-operational marina of John Alvey, situated just up creek from Hampton's Landing Marina. And this particular boundary is of importance because this is one of the reasons, this is the primary reason Mr. Alvey is protesting both the after-the-fact and the current application. This boundary was determined by a court-approved riparian apportionment. This was submitted to VMRC in conjunction with application 10-0917. This does define the legal boundary between Mr. Alvey's marina and Hampton's Landing Marina. And Mr. Alvey is protesting both applications on the fact that he feels that the location of the travel lift as it's currently aligned and then the proposed floating dock system, which will extend from the travel lift, interferes with his ability to use the downstream side of his riparian area. So I'm going to start with the travel lift application. I've circled it here in yellow. And the application is requesting after-the-fact authorization to retain this in its current alignment, which is different from its previously permitted alignment. It's about 23 feet upstream from where it was permitted. It was originally permitted in 1998 under a modification to a 95 permit. And to kind of lay things out a little bit, I'm going to go into a very brief history of Hampton's Landing Marina. It's been operating since the 1950s under the Hampton family as a marina. In 1995, Hampton's Landing Marina, under their previous owner, submitted a JPA number 95-1960 to expand their existing marina. Early in 1996, Mr. Terry Hill became invested in Hampton's Landing Marina and thus created Neabsco Landing LC. Late in 1996, we issued permit number 95-1960, which authorized Hampton's Landing Marina to construct several commercial piers with various T and L head extensions. And of importance, we authorized the relocation of an existing 20 by 60 foot boat ramp in addition to the installation of a 50 foot open pile tending pier. In 1998, Neabsco Landing LC requested a modification to permit number 95-1960. This modification included a travel lift in place of the relocated boat ramp. From 1997 until present, VMRC has issued 6 permits authorizing marina improvements and dredging activities within Hampton's Landing Marina. This was the original plan view drawing submitted on behalf of Hampton's Landing Marina for the 95 permit. You can see the existing concrete boat ramp here in teal, and then the proposed relocation here in orange. At the time, there were 2 parcels. There was this larger green one and this smaller red one. The proposed relocation of the boat ramp was to be on the eastern side of this 30-foot parcel, providing a 30-foot boundary between the Alvey property line and the location of the boat ramp. There was a small compliance issue that staff found after issuing the modification to the permit. It was dealt with at the February 1st, 2000 commission hearing, and the applicant paid civil charges. When the modification came in 1998, these were the drawings that were submitted. Again, you can see the existing boat ramp here depicted in teal, and then the proposed area for the travel lift. This was where the original relocation of the boat ramp was to be. Again, you can see there were 2 parcels. There's this red one, the 30-foot boundary was to be maintained from the property line. Now, these 2 parcels are important because part of the reason why the travel lift was likely built out of compliance was because during the time after Mr. Hill became invested in Hampton's Landing Marina, there was a lot of expansion and change occurring, and part of the change was they consolidated these 2 parcels into 1 larger parcel. In addition, they had an upland site plan that included a building that conflicted with the location of one of the travel lift piers. Mr. Hill explained that during this time of expansion and consolidation, what he thinks must have happened was that in order to resolve some of these issues, the travel lift got moved down as an oversight. So this is a county aerial taken from 1998, which shows the property prior to the construction of the travel lift. You can see there should have been a 30-foot parcel, and this is approximately where the travel lift should have been built. This is a county aerial taken from 2000, and this is after the installation of the travel lift, and you can see again that it was not the 30-foot boundary was not there. I will say that the dimensions of the travel lift are compliant with what they were supposed to be. It's just the location that is in question. And again, this was discovered out of compliance as we were processing an application to install a floating dock system on the adjacent side of this upper pier. In order to continue moving forward on the application for the floating dock system, staff advised Mr. Hill to submit an after-the-fact application given the 1995 date of the previous permit under which this was authorized. This was the plan view drawing that he submitted for the after-the-fact application. You can see he's depicting here the location of the travel lift as built as it relates to the riparian boundary line. He says it was depicted on this drawing that it was going to be 6 feet. Staff made a site visit on March 12th and discovered that it's actually closer to 8 feet difference between the property line and the travel lift as it's currently built. Some additional measurements. You can see that from this outer edge of the upper pier to the to this pier here, it's about 122 feet. And then from the existing boat ramp to that same pier, it's about 67 feet. So these are some ground shots taken from my initial site visit in January. This is the property line pin that's showing the legal boundary between Hampton's Landing Marina and Mr. Alvey's Marina. And again, this is 8 feet as measured on our site visit on March 12th. This is standing on the upland looking out into the water. The Potomac River would be on the east. Mr. Alvey has a sunken barge that's been along this property line for several years now. And we measured distances at about 14 14 feet 7 inches from the upper most inland part. As you move channelward, it gets a little bit closer towards 14 feet. And I'd like you to note that there are a couple pilings out here. At the time of the site visit, it was thought that this depicted the outer limits, the channelward limits of the riparian boundary line. I was notified today that Mr. Hill had some surveying done, and these pilings are actually located about 6.5 feet into his property. So he actually has another 6.5 feet upstream of where these pilings are. This is a ground shot taken from the March 12th site visit from a boat looking out at the travel lift. Again, the dimensions are correct. It's just the location that is incorrect. And this is one final shot looking out from the boat to the travel lift, and I've depicted an approximate location of the boundary line here between the two properties. And again, Mr. Albee's protesting. He says the location of this current travel lift interferes with his ability to use his riparian area. His marina is currently non-operational, and at our site visit on March 12th, when I asked him if he had plans to create an operational marina, he said once the economy picks up. I asked him about his barge here and asked him about how that would limit his navigation, and he said that he has plans to remove it. However, he did not provide a timeline, and it's been there for, I think, since the 1980s. Now I'm going to move on to the second request. Should the commission approve the after-the-fact request for the travel lift? The applicant is also requesting to install a 270-foot long floating dock system, and it will be 6 feet 6 inches wide. The applicant originally proposed to install this dock on the up creek side of the most up western pier here, and he has here depicted on this plan view drawing, he's proposing to have the pier be placed at or about the riparian boundary line, and it will not encroach over this line. And he's also made a point to say that there will be no boats or any vessels moored on the other side that would encroach into Mr. Albee's riparian area. This was the original plan view drawing he submitted showing the location of the concrete travel lift pier, the floating dock adjacent to it, and then the location of the pilings that we associated with the floating dock system. Staff discussed this with him and found that we thought the floating dock would be a little tight along the boundary line and requested that he move it to the channelward end. He agreed and he submitted new drawings showing the floating dock at the channelward end of the concrete travel lift pier, and it would maintain that 8-foot boundary from the property line to the travel lift pier and the floating dock. And here he is just depicting the distance from the sunken barge to the travel lift pier. This floating dock system is of importance to the marina because it would first provide additional mooring space for boats coming in and out of the travel lift. In addition, it would provide some protection from the sunken barge for boats that may or may not know that that's there at high tide. And again, he will not use the upstream side of the floating dock system. This is a cross-section of the dock. You've got the piling here, which will be approximately 30 feet tall with 10 to 15 feet down into the bottom. There's six feet water depth, and this is the width, again, of the floating dock system at 6 feet 6 inches, and that will be placed on staggered floats at 48 inches, 36 inches, and 24 inches. This is a side view drawing, so if you're sitting in the water looking out at the dock, this is, again, a piling, and then the dock would extend a maximum of 270 feet. this is one of the aerial photographs that was actually submitted with the floating dock application. This black line here represents the riparian boundary, the legal boundary between Mr. Albee's marina and Hampton's Landing Marina. This was the original proposal to have the floating dock put adjacent to this western travel lift pier. It would extend 270 feet, and then there would be an additional 80 feet to the navigational channel. Again, they've revised it to put the pier at the channelward end of this travel lift dock, the travel lift pier, and it will extend now a maximum of 270 feet. It will likely be shorter because Mr. Hill would like to avoid any navigation issues within his marina with boats coming in and out of those channelward dock slips. That would reduce the distance to the navigation channel to about 30 feet. This is just my representation of the travel lift with the floating dock associated at the channelward end of that pier. Again, this is the approximate boundary line between the two marinas. Mr. Albee's protest was the only protest we received when we did the public comment period. As far as agency comments go, the Virginia Department of Health had no comments, as Hampton's Landing Marina is an approved marina through their program. The Department of Conservation and Recreation does not anticipate any adverse effects of this of the requested projects. They did note the applicability of the Chesapeake Bay Act requirements, and they recommended coordination with the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries concerning the location of bald eagle concentration areas in Lee Sylvania State Park near the marina. Game and Inland Fisheries comments do not anticipate any adverse impacts associated with either project. They did recommend coordination with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service concerning the bald eagles. However, previous coordination with the Fish and Wildlife Service for dredging activities within the marina determined that there were no impacts and that a take permit would not be necessary. So staff's recommendation, I'll start with the after-the-fact application. Staff believes that the installation of the travel lift in the piers at the unauthorized location were likely a result of their construction during a time of marina expansion and change. Aside from the one pier compliance issue, Mr. Hill has worked diligently to comply with VMRC regulations and within the confines of several permits he has received since 2000. Staff also believes that the current alignment of the travel lift and the piers does not encroach into or hinder Mr. Albee's ability to use the east side of his riparian area. The structures are located well within Hampton's Landing Marina's riparian area. They are no greater hindrance to navigation than his currently sunken barge. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project and after considering all of the factors contained in 28.2-1205A of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends approval of the project. Given the after-the-fact nature of the request, we also recommend a triple permit fee of $300 as provided for in Section 28.2-1206D of the Virginia Code. Finally, should the Commission desire to accept the payment of a civil charge in lieu of further enforcement actions, we would recommend the charge be based on a minimal environmental impact and moderate degree of deviation or noncompliance. Now, should the Commission approve this after-the-fact request with concern to the floating dock system, staff feels that the floating dock and the pilings will be located entirely within Hampton's Landing Marina's riparian area. Again, the sunken barge is immediately adjacent and parallel to the riparian line and provides a greater hindrance to navigation than the floating dock system would. And there is no timeline for removal of the sunken barge. Mr. Hill has expressed the marina's need for this additional staging area and his desire to provide protection for Mr. Albee's barge. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project against the concerns expressed by the opposition to the project, and after considering all the factors contained in 28.2-1205A of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends approval of the project as proposed. I'd be happy to entertain any questions. Mr. Hill is also here to answer any questions.
Great. Juliet, the line between the two marinas you refer to as a legal line, it's my understanding that was actually has been set by the court, so that's no longer in doubt, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Thank you. Are there other questions? Rick?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What is the distance between the proposed pier and the bows of the boats that are currently moored in those covered slips? Is that something you can share with us?
Approximately 80 to 90 feet.
There's 80 feet between the proposed floating pier
and
the bows of those boats?
Yeah, that would be about right.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
And typically those are 55-foot boats in those slips, 60-foot?
Yes.
So there's one and a half times. Okay.
Other questions? The applicant is present.
Yes, the applicant is present.
Mr. Hill? You solemnly swear that the testimony you will give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Terry Hill. I'm the owner of Hampton's Landing Marina and the Apsco Landing LC. Thank you for having me here today and giving me an opportunity to speak about this situation. Your staff, I've worked with your staff over the course of the time I've been involved in this marina. I know at least eight of those people in here, and we've had nothing but great relations and a great opportunity to work together, and I want to commend them on that. The The problem I have is that I have a neighbor that doesn't like to comply with anything, but yet he feels that he has the right, as everybody does, to contest what someone else is doing. You have quite a few years of experience with this gentleman, and I did a FOIA request. I've got the book here. It's as big as anything you've got laying before you right now. I don't believe he has the right to say anything, but that's what we're doing. The problem I have is that he has that barge there, and it's been there for close to 30 years. It is now a hindrance because they cut it down to the water line. It's a hazard to navigation. If a boat comes out of one of my slips and has an issue, the guy's not knowing what he's doing, he's going to run over top of that barge and rip the bottom out of his boat. So that's an issue for me. Number two, in order to get this dock put in, which this dock happened to be free, by the way, that there is nothing free in life, it cost me $15,000 to get my apportionment done just to have a free dock and put it in. So after going through all these trials and tribulations with Mr. Alvey, dragging him to court and going through this and finally terminating this line, he can now contest it and I have to come down here, but he won't come here to speak before you because he doesn't believe this body has any authority or any capability of doing anything anyway. And that's evidenced in the four cases he sent to the Attorney General's or that you've sent to the Attorney General's office that have not ever been acted upon. So as a citizen and as a adjacent property owner, I find some issues with that. So my reasoning for putting this in is for protection and to actually utilize my riparian area, my rights. Mr. Alvey would like us to have 24 feet give up on each side of it. If I move my dock over, if I move my travel lift over 24 feet, he'll still have a barge sitting there. He's had it there for 30 years. He's never going to get rid of it. That's just the way it is. So I'm asking for my full rights to use my riparian area as I've taken the time and the money and the effort to determine where that is and to present this information to you. I want to make clear one thing. The compliance issue I had that she mentioned early on was a gazebo. Put a little shelter gazebo on my fuel dock so my fuel dock attendant and the people on the boats, when they got off the boats, could stand in the shade. That cost me $600 as a fine because I didn't think it was really a big deal. I put it over top of the existing dock. I learned my lesson. I know better now. I paid my $600. So basically, I'm here to ask for your approval of these two permits, and let me move on with my business and continue dealing with my neighbor. And answer any questions you have.
Any questions for Mr. Hill, Mr. Tankard?
Yes, sir. You mentioned you've got the idea of putting the dock there as a safety precaution because of the barge. Have you had any problems, people running into the barge?
Not yet. I mean, if someone comes out of a slip, I've had when I'm towing a boat in, moving boats around, the wind catches you or something. You get close and you get fearful that you're going to lay up against this barge and tear the bottom of your boat up. The sides of the barge were solid until, I don't know, about 4 or 5 years ago maybe. He cut them down to the waterline. So prior to that, you were laying up beside a regular barge. It wasn't such a big deal. Now it's a jagged steel bottom, and that's a problem. Number two is I like an access way and have a dock so I can bring boats in and out of my travel lane. That's for my functionality. So there's two reasons for this.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Do you have anyone else to speak in favor of your project? No?
Okay, sure.
I've got one.
I'm sorry, Mr. Plummer.
Sorry. Mr. Hill, with regard to the oversight about the placement of the travel lift, can you explain that for us? I don't think you addressed that yet.
No, this was a work in progress, and this is a marina that I own. It's just like you having your house and deciding you want to put a shed in your backyard, you want to add a pool in. That's what I do. I live and breathe and operate this marina as a small business. So in the process, I had to get a site plan. I I want to expand the marina. In order to pay for the cost of the site plan, which was over $150,000 for an existing marina to continue existing, I decided to put in a covered dock. I had to have bathhouses. I had to have a restroom for the people in the marina, which had never had a restroom before that, by the way. So in order to build the building, in order to build the dock, I had to do the site plan. Everything came together right after the design and the intention to put this travel lift pier in. As it evolved, the buildings became placed along the water, and that moved the travel lift over. I couldn't have the building sitting in front of a travel lift area. I moved it. I didn't think twice about it. I just didn't realize that. It's my fault. I did it wrong. I should have come back for a permit, but I'm here today to do that.
Any further questions? Thank you. Is there anyone here in opposition to issuing either of these permits? Seeing none, the matter is before the commission.
I'd like to move to accept staff recommendation. Do you want to take these issues separately, vote?
Listen, you can do both of them if you want.
I'd like to go ahead and put both of them together.
Okay.
I'm familiar with this facility. It's one of the most advanced technologically built facility on the Potomac River. Uses a lot of new technology, which helps the environment. And you know, I'm familiar with the operation, and I think this was truly an oversight, and there really is a necessity for protection against that barge. So I'd like to move that we go ahead and approve it.
Are you recommending any type of civil penalty there under the after the fact? The staff simply asked that question, and the only reason I raise it.
Well, I think the minimal was recommended. Is that correct?
It was minimal on the environment and moderate in the degree of deviation and noncompliance.
I'd like to move that minimal and minor.
Minimal and minor.
Yes.
Which is that in the neighborhood of $600? Is that correct? Thank you.
And I know that there was a lot more to the story than Mr. Hill had stated. There was a situation of confusion, and that type of situation. So I don't think this was a thumb in their nose at the permitting process at all.
Thank you. And there was a second by Mr. Robbins.
A second. And just to clarify that I think the dollar amount does need to be clear in the motion, so that would be $600.
Correct. Everyone's clear on that?
Yeah.
Discussion on the motion?
Yeah.
$600.
Approval of the
applicant.
Mr. Tanker.
And it's really perhaps a question with regard to this case, and that is this barge that is there on state bottom, how much longer can that happen?
We're going to take that up right after this motion.
Okay.
Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Chairman votes aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Hill. Now, I don't know whether Juliet or Tony can brief us on this barge here, but this is a significant concern.
Some of the background in general, and Juliet has some more of the details that she can fill in the date and time maybe if necessary. The barge is obviously now best on state insurance lanes. I think it needs to be debated, but at this time I'm not so sure that you could debate that. It's pretty obvious that it's anywhere until major efforts are underway to get it out of there. We have a...
Did you move closer to the mic?
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's good.
There are certain code sections that deal with derelict structures and derelict vessels on state submerged lands, and we have a procedure in the agency of dealing with those. It's generally law enforcement who takes the lead on dealing with the vessel owner and compelling their removal, and if they can't succeed in getting voluntary compliance, then summonses are issued and they potentially go to court on that particular item once they follow that process. Habitat has gotten involved if there's a third party that wants to remove a vessel that we don't know the owner of, and we'll work with that third party to run a notice in the paper to advertise its the plans to remove it, and if anyone wants to come forward and make any claim, they can do that. If we don't get any negative comment or any claim, then the third party is generally told they can go ahead and remove it at their expense if they want to do that. So with regard to the barge, I think that's a process we probably ought to consider pursuing. With regard to the marina itself next door, non-functional marina next door of Mr. Alvey's, we've had I think, two at least cases before the commission regarding one, I think, some pier issues, and another was some unauthorized dredging that occurred there. The commission considered both of those because we really didn't get compliance from Mr. Alvey, and obviously with dredging, that was nothing to do to change that other than stop what he was doing. And in those cases, the matters were referred to the Office of the Attorney General for further prosecution and compliance. And to my knowledge, those letters went to the AG's office, but I don't think the cases have been brought to court that I'm aware of. And I mentioned this to Paul, and he could not find any action when he first looked at it a week or two ago. But with regard to past actions and the commission's direction, it may be just an opportunity to reiterate that request with the Office of the Attorney General to look into the legal standing and pursue those as appropriate.
Counselor, can you identify any reason why we shouldn't renew those letters to the AG to pursue this?
I cannot, Commissioner.
First of all, I'd like to take the opportunity to apologize to Mr. Hill on behalf of the Attorney General's office. I took over as counsel for VMRC in June. As Mr. Watkinson pointed out, a couple weeks ago, I was asked what's going on with this, and he was kind enough to provide me the letters, and I was not able to determine what, if any, action had been taken by the office. My recommendation at this juncture based, and Tony, if you disagree with me, we can shortcut it, is to send a letter to Mr. Alvey again and say, look, you've got 30 days to get this up, and that way we still have the notice and compliance in accordance with 28.2.1209 and following. We don't get the compliance, then we'll send the letter over to the office, and we will act on it forthwith.
That would be with regard to the barge.
The sunken barge. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, I don't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
Lines, then, it sounds like to me you would ask that we pursue that to our standard course of procedures at the agency with law enforcement and notice. And
it's just due process issues. I just want to make sure that we don't give Alvey any room to wiggle out.
That's fine.
Comments on this approach, Mr. Shea?
Yeah, I also think, if I remember from the aerials, that there are also some derelict docks that are they floating docks or?
Some are, I think.
Yeah.
And that's part of the past compliance issues.
Right.
And Juliet, she said she had some of the timelines and some things that we want to look
right
at that in detail today with regard to what's happened there. But I'd have to look back, to be honest with you, to sort out some of the details of the noncompliance efforts and related to those. And I guess if there's other things since the matters went to the AG's office, sort those out as well.
Because if I remember correctly, part of the problem with the barge was that he was using it as a platform to dredge from. So it was kind of a barge at that point, but obviously it's not now. So that has changed a little bit, which could be an aid to getting rid of it.
It's a former barge.
Yeah.
One question. Were the past violations, did that involve the removal of the barge, or does the removal of the barge need to come before us? Because under 1210, it says 28.2.1210, that the commission may ascertain the owner of the property and require him to repair or remove the property from the waters of the Commonwealth. And so that appears to be the authority. So do we need to give him notice to come and appear and then put him through the process of inquiry on the barge and its status and his, you know?
Well, I'll just tell you past procedures. And I would just follow this. With regard to an abandoned vessel, sunken vessel, we typically, as an agency, go to that individual and say, if you get it up and take care of it within a certain amount of time, no further legal actions required. I mean, this is a pretty derelict structure. They're all not in that kind of shape.
Right.
If he doesn't comply, then law enforcement issues what I'll refer to as a summons, in case I'm using the wrong term, to compel removal. If they don't do that, it's scheduled for court hearing through just the law enforcement's procedures, I guess, with the Commonwealth attorney. And the courts through that process like they would a fishing violation, so to speak, and then seek the judge's action to compel the removal. And if we run into difficulty, in that process, we certainly consult with the AG's office and involve them as necessary. But it's not been one of those cases where we're just under the civil provisions of our code sections that we normally deal with in habitat cases, where they all come to you first, and if we don't get it resolved with the property owner, the AG's office then takes it to court through that civil process to seek civil penalties or actions. So we're more in the criminal side of things with regard to 1210 and the law enforcement than we are that civil process
Commissioner, a comment and a question,
yes,
please. As I'm sure Mr. Plumley's aware, there's nothing that precludes us, the Commission, from proceeding both civilly and criminally. And that may be the way to go. It's the Commission's pleasure there. One question I would like to ask Mr. Giordano. You spoke with Mr. Alvey, is that correct?
Yes, I did.
And when you asked him about the barge, did he affirm ownership of the barge?
He did, yes.
Okay. That's all. I just wanted to make sure that was on the record.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Robbins?
Mr. Chairman, just to be clear, the removal of the barge, was that not part of the one of the original actions that we took?
To be honest, I don't really know the history of the barge aside from the agency's point of view. Anything that we have taken to the Office of the Attorney General has been concerning unauthorized structures and unauthorized dredging. I did not see anything in our files that indicated anything to do with the barge.
We'll just follow up, Mr. Chairman. Then it seems that if that hasn't been subject to a prior action or order by the Commission, that at least one way forward would be what Mr. Watkinson has suggested, and that is that we initiate the normal course of action for removing a derelict structure by contacting the individual and requesting removal and going from there, unless you want to proceed down two tracks.
The Chair would appreciate a motion to proceed along the lines that Mr. Watkinson has outlined.
I just want to clarify something. In fact, I have some minutes here from a 1987 Commission hearing where we referred something to the Office of the Attorney General concerning unauthorized structures which currently rest on or are constructed over state-owned subaqueous bottoms, to include a marina facility, barge, sunken pile driver, hot tub facility, and a new structure located at the end of the commercial docks. So I don't know if this is the barge we are currently talking about, but there was a barge that did go to the Office of the Attorney General in 1987.
1987?
Okay.
That was way before my time.
And I think one thing to note, too, is the barge that we believe the barge has certainly moved around and it's changed form, or has less of it now than there used to be.
It's a former barge.
Yeah.
Well, ready for a motion. Mr. Robbins?
Well, I'd say, Mr. Chairman, in light of that, I don't know if counsel has any further advice. That is to say, if the barge has been the subject of a previous request of the AG office, if we should continue down that path, or if we might have quicker success moving down the other track.
My recommendation, again, just because of the latency of what's going on and the uncertainty of staffs being able to identify and designate that this particular barge is the barge that was referenced earlier, although circumstantially it must be, I would say, what I want to avoid is, and I'm risk averse with bringing lawsuits, if we're going to bring it, let's bring it appropriately and take the extra, my recommendation is to take the extra step and go through the notice that Mr. Watkinson has recommended, and I anticipate that it's just going to be a mere formality. I don't think he's going to pull it up without. But that's a personal observation, not a legal opinion. Does that answer your question, sir?
Yes, it does.
I'm sorry.
One thing to keep in mind is Mr. Alvey has been before us before and has stated that he does not believe that we have the authority to tell him what to do with that barge or his derelict docks. So I think our actions should take that in mind he's not going to comply with anything we ask him to do.
No.
I mean, I would love to give him the opportunity, but I think we should go with the procedure. Like you said, if we're gonna do something, I think we should try to,
Is that a motion?
Be as aggressive as we can. Yes, that's a motion.
That is a motion. Is there a second to the motion? Seconded by Mr. Tankard. Comments on the motion? Mr. Turner.
Well, my comment on the motion is that, you know, these kind of things make the VMRC look like it's not doing its job to the public when we have derelict structures in the water. And I think that in the most practical sense that we work with the public on a whole different range of issues, but these are the things they see and remember, and so I hope we can move as quickly as possible in this regard.
I agree. Other comments?
Well, my comment is just that the motion that we're considering is one to direct staff to begin proceedings to have the barge removed.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
And any other derelict structures that are over the state-owned bottom. Yeah.
Mr. Alvey owns?
Yeah. I mean, because there's docks, there's other things there, too. It probably need to take a full inventory.
Any final comments? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Chair votes aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you.